Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. This month, we're wrapping up our series on the fruit of the Spirit. So if you've been with us the past couple months, we've been exploring how you, listeners, are experiencing this fruit in your lives. And today, we get to hear about kindness from somebody I'm really excited to have. So welcome to Kim Kuntz. Thanks for being with us. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, your time at Good Shepherd? Whatever you want to share.
Okay. Thank you. My family has been coming to Good Shepherd for what feels like a short time, and just over a year and a half, I believe. And we came here looking for a place to grow and to be loved, and we've found that here. And we stay because of what we're talking about today. We've stayed because we've been met with overwhelming kindness. We're grateful for this place.
This place is grateful for you.
Oh,
truly.
Thanks.
It's been a beautiful gift to watch your family find space here and build community. It's been really neat to receive the gifts that you all share and to be in ministry together. And I know, personally, it's a real joy. My kids totally look up to your kids. They love to run around with them. They feel so seen and included, which I know is something we'll be talking about. So you're a gift to a lot of folks, you're a gift to us, and to me, you're somebody that just exudes kindness.
So thank you.
Yeah, made a lot of sense to have you on to talk about this fruit today. So how do you define kindness?
I think that, kindness is seeing people, right? Seeing, caring. And I think that kindness looks like, feels like being heard and being cared for, being respected, often looks like generosity and love and tenderness. But I think that it starts with being able to see other people, right? That the gestures of kindness come from a posture of seeing outward. And I think that when I think about kindness as a fruit of the Spirit, I always picture something really small, like a grape. Because I do think that I feel like kindness is small gestures made with big love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, and I think, Mother Teresa, many of us are familiar with her quote that says that we can do small things with great love, and I feel like kindness is that. It's powerful, world-changing stuff that is a smile or a touch or an acknowledgement of someone, right?
Acknowledgement, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our staff sort of has this unspoken mission statement that everyone at Good Shepherd would be known and know others, which that sounds so much like that, right? To be known is to be seen, to be acknowledged, to be honored as a fellow human being.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like what we're really hoping for is kindness. Kindness all around. And you mentioned it being a small thing. I love that grape. I was trying to decide if it was red or green. Maybe purple.
Yeah.
So small, and yet you also mentioned world-changing, which is so cool because for those of us who are desperately always trying to make the world a better place, it means we actually can do something about that, right? That can feel so overwhelming, but if there's something small, we can each participate with a couple of grapes. Next thing we know, we have a whole vineyard.
That's right.
So
that's
I love that.
It's kingdom work, right?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like, I think.
So how are you experiencing the fruit of kindness in your life right now?
I think in those small ways, those small gestures that people have seen me lately but make a really tremendous impact on my life. And I think that, I receive kindness when my husband chooses to wake up at 5 a.m. today to go to work before the sun rises and makes a point to check in on each of the kids as they're sleeping and stumbles down to the kitchen and chugs coffee and then bobs and weaves through the traffic on 270 in order to go to a job where respect is not a language that's fluently spoken, nor is it a job that he chose because it lined up with the dreams and hopes that he had for his life, how he wanted to contribute to the world 50 hours a week, but a choice that he makes because he sees us. He sees my kids, he sees me, and he desires to provide for his children's dreams. And create a family culture with his provision that keeps our priorities for our family in line. And I feel seen by that, yeah. Right? By those that choice that he made today and the choice that he'll make tomorrow to do it again. I feel seen by that. My kids feel seen by that. And I receive that as kindness. I really do. And I see it when my teenager is across a crowded room and she stops and makes a silly face at me and winks to see me and acknowledge, you know, hey, Mom, I see you.
That's a big deal from a teenager.
It's a big deal. And I love that. And I receive it as kindness. And, you know, when my boss stops what she's doing in order to take a moment to acknowledge me and voice her appreciation for my contribution to the team, that was a choice that she made, and it, you know, she didn't have to, and I receive it as the gift that it is. It's kind, and I thank you for that, you know, and I think that it's these little moments, these little, like, touches, right, from another human being who makes me feel seen, that make my life colorful and beautiful and special, right? It changes my life, changes my world, these gestures of kindness, right?
And, I mean, you're naming really big things for your heart and soul, but really small things in the world that'd be so easy to miss, right? It'd be so easy to march through your day and miss every single thing you just said. And yet you just said they change and color your world. Like, they add up. They really matter. And it seems like they might be contagious, or maybe you're the one that started it in your family, I'm not sure, but when I watch your family interact, that's all I see coming from you too, is kindness. And certainly when you've interacted with me or my children or anyone else I see, you know, on Wednesday night or Sunday morning, it's like this cycle has been kickstarted of kindness that just keeps rippling out. Like, it's really contagious. So it kind of makes me wonder what happens if someone isn't initiating that cycle, like if that's not been kickstarted, when the contagion is down during a really hard season or a situation. So how do you reach for kindness when it hasn't been extended first, or when things are really challenging?
Yeah, that's a great question, isn't it? I have the same one for you. I'd love to know what your
and that's it, friends. Secrets. We have no answer.
That's right. We're out. I have thought about that a lot, and I think that you know, when I feel like it looks like, or it feels like my vision is clouded, right? That the glasses have been murkied or muddied, and I have to kind of clean them off in order to see other people in those seasons. And sometimes it's a moment, right? And sometimes it's a day, and sometimes it's a season where things are hard. It's harder to be kind outside of myself, to see the world and other people. And I think, you know, when we're particularly when we're wounded, which is all the time, right?
Is that the truth?
But emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally, and I think one of those moments is when we've been offended, relationally, and it's a challenge to maintain that posture of humility and care that sees through the offense and still is able to see the other person, right? And approach that person in that humility, that questions with curiosity and love, rather than moving in hostility and assumption.
Ooh.
Right?
I love that idea of curiosity. That word's been coming up a lot for me lately. Mm-hmm. I think when we have those hard interactions, curiosity just brings down all the defenses.
It sure does.
It's just kind of an openness to allow a person to be themselves and to get some more clarity on what right. is happening or what happened.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so important. And I think that something that I've said frequently, I think in my interpersonal relationships, is that there are millions of ways to accomplish the same thing interpersonally.
Yeah.
Right. And that, can we stop and make a choice that sees the other person, right, before we speak? Because there are many, many ways to do this, but can we please just operate in kindness?
And you said stop and make a choice. So before we started recording, you and I were talking about how this it just looks like it comes so naturally from you, this kindness. Mm-hmm. And yet I am aware that it is hard work. Mm-hmm. And that, like you just said, you have to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy not to.
Yeah.
It's so easy not to make that choice and just kind of plow forward with whatever's going on in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about that in regards to how you choose kindness for people you don't even see or people you don't even know. Can you say mm-hmm. more about that?
Mm-hmm. I think it looks like something that I'm trying to teach my kids in a world that looks different than what it did when I was growing up. And that, you know, much of our human connection is screen to screen,
mm-hmm.
right? Or there's a distance, right? I mean, growing up, I didn't talk to anyone in an email or in a text message or even a phone call, right? All of my interpersonal connection was face to face. And you're seeing the person physically. And so, you can't lob those hurtful thoughts and statements from afar.
That's right.
Teaching my kids, hey, you know, and teaching myself this new skill, which is be mindful of the person who isn't actually sitting in front of you. As you send this message or you send this email or, it's an effort. It's a conscious effort and choice to see the person that's behind the screen, for example. But then also, I mean, it gets bigger than that, right? I mean, yeah, anyway, I might digress there, but go ahead.
This is great. What you're virtually saying is to see someone we can't see.
Right.
You're challenging us to see someone who we cannot see, and that is a lot of effort. It doesn't necessarily come naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we tap into to do that?
Right. Well, I do think that something that maybe doesn't get mentioned enough is the idea that we have to be kind to ourselves first, right? And so we do actually have to establish boundaries for healthy relationships with other people and preserve and protect that which is in us so that we have something to give, right? So that we have kindness to extend, and that must be mentioned, right? That is what we tap into. But then, you know, Christ, I mean, this is fruit of his spirit, and it looks not of this world because it's not. And
can we pause that for a second? It looks not of this world because it's not. We're talking about, like, supernatural mm-hmm. kindness that's only possible when we're tapped into Christ, because he is not of this world, and the way of this world doesn't necessarily make room mm-hmm. for kindness or mm-hmm. encourage.
That's right.
Kindness.
Right. I mean, I feel like I've been valued in my life a lot for being efficient,
mm-hmm.
for my approach to a lot of things, usually very practically and pragmatically. And kindness mm-hmm. isn't always that. Like, isn't always efficient.
Kindness is not efficient and is inconvenient.
Right? And yet, it's a reordering of things. It's a different way, right? It's not of this world. And I think because of that, it often feels silly.
Yeah.
Right?
Or wasteful.
Wasteful.
It doesn't produce.
Exactly. And yet I have to see the value in the person that's either visible or invisible, that I'm giving this gift of kindness to, right? And so something that I've been challenged with lately in my life has been seeing, you know, the world, seeing people, for example, like when I choose to recycle, which sounds so silly.
I mean, not to me.
It just does, right?
It feels that, like a waste of time.
Yeah. Or composting. My family composts now, and I'm pretty into it.
Same.
Hey, love it, right? But it's this idea that, like, as I walk to my trash can with my banana peel, there is nobody there, right? There's nobody there to say to myself, you know, that I'm making this inconvenient, possibly seemingly silly choice to put this in a compost pile that takes effort,
right?
In order to give a gift to my future children's children,
right,
and to the world that will be here in 100 years, right? That's kindness. I'm giving, composting is kindness.
You are seeing people that you can't see and will never see. Never meet.
That's right.
And yet choosing to, quote unquote, waste time and energy to show them kindness. Because it doesn't look in our lifetime like it's producing anything. And yet it's everything.
Right.
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. That's such a really helpful perspective. Because I think it's really easy to talk about being kind to people who are kind, right? Like that even exchange. But, but you're talking about being kind in a way that you won't ever get anything back, potentially.
Right. Yeah.
Other than the joy of, like, participating in God's kingdom, which is what you're doing, right? You're operating in a different way from the world. And I really appreciated your mention of self-kindness, because I think... or at least from my perspective, one of the things almost all of us is lacking, or maybe it's just me, it's like self-love and care. And so when our own bucket is empty, there's nothing to pour out. There's no kindness, which is why I think so many of us walk around like we're all like tightly wound, ready to snap because our bucket's empty. But if we can start with some kindness toward ourselves, then there's like something to overflow from.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. And I think that, like you said, the contagious part of this.
Right.
That it really does look like being kind to ourselves and that other people, it catches on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In that way as well. It's modeling, I think, to our children and to our communities as well.
So, okay, this leads to maybe my last question here. How do you want to encourage people to be on the lookout or to model kindness? How do you want to encourage folks in that this week?
Yeah, good question. I think everywhere we go, people are dying to be seen.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah. Yes.
Right? And so I think that reminder is something that I try to carry with myself. I think that it has become... As a parent to children, I find myself repeating phrases that become kind of like an adage or something, you know?
Like a family mantra.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, where'd that come from, right? Oh, I've said that 14 times. I guess it's a mantra now, right? But I guess I see it most when I see my children going into the world and I'm trying to encourage them. And I think that maybe this is a little steering off base a little bit, but... It's a picture that has helped me go into my own world. And that is when my children were young and they'd go onto a playground, I caught myself always saying, be mindful of others. Be mindful of others, right? You are five, you are large, and there's an 18-month-old child who's standing at the bottom of the slide. If you go down the slide, you're going to annihilate them.
Right.
And I found myself... like backing up from explaining the full situation to my five-year-old and trying to just throw the phrase out, be mindful of others, right? I want you to have your eyes up and out, right? See the world, see the people. You are entering a space where others dwell. There are people present here.
Reminder.
There are people present here, right? Take your eyes out of yourself and up and into the world. And so... be mindful of others. And then my child was in that position then to look up, you know, be a problem solver, see, engage, without me necessarily spelling out it all the time. And so I that picture has kind of stuck with me, the tangible experience of my child and another child smaller than them, enough that I hear that inside of my spirit sometimes when I'm walking into the world. Be mindful of others. Like, if you are not aware of a person in need around you, you may just annihilate them. You may just like trample them in your presence here.
Yes.
In your unawareness, right, of those around you. And yeah, so that's something that I think really challenges me, and thus might challenge other listeners too. I'm not sure, but just be mindful, man. Right?
I love that. Just pay attention.
Just be
up mindful
and out. And I do think that, you know, it does help me. I have social anxiety sometimes walking into a new space, like many or most of us do. And my children, right? Like, I'll be like, yeah, you don't want to walk into that class because you have no friends there. I see you. Mm-hmm. How about eyes up and out, right? How about walking into that class and look for someone else who might need to be seen, right?
Wow, because in our culture right now, I'm really stuck on this eyes up and out thing. I love this because in our culture, when we are worried about walking into a space, we're so worried about our own needs and our own fears and our own invisibility. I think for so many, at least those who have phones, the tendency is quickly eyes down.
Absolutely.
Eyes down, glued to a phone, because that's like a safety blanket, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And no judgment. It's just like how they've been designed.
Yeah.
And they're working very well at it.
Yes.
I think that's the tendency, is eyes down, turn in. Mm-hmm. Get on that phone, make sure no one, you know, if I'm invisible, I'm going to lean into it.
Yes.
And I don't have to worry. And yet your cure, mm-hmm, for that is so countercultural and feels so counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. Like, no, mm-hmm, eyes up, open out, like open yourself to the world, mm-hmm, not to be injured by it, but mm-hmm, because then you're noticing someone else who's probably feeling the exact same way. And look at that. Then there's an option. For connection, like there's
absolutely
an opening for both of you to feel less alone and anxious.
That's right. You go see a need, right? Rather than sitting in what you feel is a vulnerable, anxious spot for you, like walk into that room and see other people who need you. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. This is so good. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your experience and your wisdom and your kindness. Thank you for modeling that for me. I'm learning a lot from you today. Thank you for challenging us to keep our eyes up and out. I'm going to think about that a lot. And friends, I'm going to invite you now to take a few minutes to ponder these questions. Number one, when have you felt unseen? Number two, when have you, without judgment here, perhaps had eyes down and missed seeing somebody else? Number three, when have you experienced the kind of kindness that Kim described today from somebody in your life? Number four, what does it feel like to know that you are always seen by God? Number five, what sort of self-care and love do you need to practice this week to fill your kindness buckets? Kim, thank you again. Thank you for being here and sharing your time. It might have felt like a waste of energy or a fruitless, you know, it's not productive.
Not at all.
And yet, here you are being kind yet again, so thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you all for tuning into this Fruit of the Spirit series. It's kind of sad to wrap it up, but mm-hmm, it's been a joy to have people on and sharing. So as you prepare to head back into your everyday life, looking for some kindness and hopefully offering some, let's end with a prayer. God of kindness, so interesting. We talk about kindness maybe not being productive, and yet kindness is the produce. It's the production. It is the end result of being connected to you, our vine. We get that fruit from you. That is the goal. And then we get to just share it around. So God, help us to look for and enjoy and produce lots of grapes. Lots of little red and green and purple kindness grapes, because this world sure needs some of that. So stir that up in us and help us to put in the effort to share your kindness out with the world and to receive it with great joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.